Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Gentlemen, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that the entire country was shocked and mortified by what happened in Texas. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we could all feel the pain of those parents, many of whom didn't know for hours and hours whether their beloved children were okay, and many of them, 19, way too many, finding out they weren't. And as we hear some of these stories, you can't help but feel sickened, absolutely disgusted by the evil, and that's what it is, folks, by the absolute evil that it took to commit such an act, senseless act. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, mental health, this is something deeper than mental health. I have known people in my lifetime and seen people in my lifetime that certainly had mental health issues, still knew a basic sense of right and wrong. There's more to it than just mental instability. There is an inbred evil in someone who could point a gun at a helpless 8 or 9 year old child and pull the trigger. And while I expected the entire world, I said, this may be as horrific as this is. This may be the horrific incident that finally brings a little bit of this country together, in the sense that I didn't know anybody who wasn't mortified and shocked and disgusted. Didn't matter what your political party was. If you were Democrat, liberal, conservative, Republican, you were all mourning right along with the parents and shocked and disgusted by the incident. And I thought to myself, maybe, just maybe, we will see that at the end of the day, we're all human. At the end of the day, our blood is all red. And maybe there will be a moment where people will step back and say, we cannot politicize everything in this world. Everything in this world does not rely upon whether you vote red or blue. I really thought that. And for the first time in quite a long time, I watched Joe Biden's address to the country with optimism. Because as much as I disagree with Joe Biden's policies, as much as I disagree with Joe Biden in general, as much as I think Joe Biden is a crook, Joe Biden has buried 2 children. They weren't this young, but he's buried 2 children and certainly knows the grief. Certainly knows it. And I said to myself, this will be the moment where Joe Biden will finally put the teleprompter away, look into the eyes of the American people and say, this incident has struck a nerve in us all. And we must put the politics aside. We must focus on all of us as a nation and not Republican versus Democrat every single aspect of our life. And he did, to begin with. What he said in the first minute and a half of his speech, I believe he felt in his heart. And he was correct. And I had people tell me, count the moments, Marcus, until he politicizes this event. And I said, I do not believe this will happen. Not this time. I do not believe it will happen this time. The wound is too fresh. The nation is still in shock. He won't do it. This is the moment where Joe Biden will do the right thing. Of all the wrong things he's done, this is the moment. And I was wrong. 2 minutes into his speech, his voice raises, his eyebrows lower, and he says, we will absolutely begin our efforts once again to ban guns and control. And I said to myself, I cannot believe what I'm watching. Now, there's a lot of people who listen to this show on a regular basis. Thank you. And some people tell me part of the magic of this show is that I get very, very angry, and it's real anger. It's not contrived anger. I'm angry at what I see, and I say it the way I feel. I'm not angry today. I'm as sad as I've ever been. Because I don't know if there's any humanity left in this country. I wish I could tell you I did, but I watched those faces on that screen, and I say to myself, as evil and horrible as this shooter was, what kind of person makes this political for their own self-aggrandizement? And it's not just Joe Biden. It's not. Joe Biden read the words on the teleprompter. But it's idiots like Beto O'Rourke, who literally interrupts a press conference to scream how it's the Republicans' fault because they're doing nothing. And how basically he's campaigning. He's campaigning while those children are still not even buried. They're not in the ground, and Beto O'Rourke is campaigning. When is it enough? When will you people wake up? There is an evil in this Democratic Party, the likes of which I've never seen. They are so power-obsessed that it overrides their ability to grieve for innocent children. They are so obsessed with taking your guns away that it overrides the deaths of those children. There are people in this Democratic Party, and you mark my words, I am not exaggerating. There are people in this Democratic Party who, while they may say on the air, this is a horrible tragedy, say, boy, we get lucky. This is a great way for us to push gun control on the bodies of children. I have had enough. There is no more benefit of the doubt. I've had enough. When is the last time Beto O'Rourke went to Chicago to interrupt a press conference by Lori Lightfoot, one more child killed in the crossfire of gang violence? Those are guns. When was Beto O'Rourke in Portland talking about the gun violence going on there? He stays in Texas because, oh, well, this is my opportunity to make a political speech. over the dead bodies of children. And the Democrats, rather than, I waited. I said, well, you know what, maybe Beto O'Rourke is a complete moron. And maybe CNN, MSNBC, they will say this was very inappropriate. And while we think he might mean well, it was a very, very inappropriate time, and it wasn't well thought out. No, he's a hero. He's a hero. He's a hero to this party. It makes my head spin. I don't even know what to say anymore. Let me tell you what we do know. The 18-year-old responsible for, and I will not mention his name on this show, was obviously a very disturbed individual. There were some rumors that he had written that he was going to do this on his social media long before it happened. That is fake news. He did write it on his social media, but it was just hours before it happened. There's no way to, you're not going to be able to trace that. By the time you got it reported and somebody saw it, the incident's over. However, he did post some very unusual things, which certainly should have been a red flag to some people. And I'm just struck by the fact that if I write that Hunter Biden's diary, his laptop was real, or that Joe Biden's daughter's diary was real on a social media page, I will be met with fact checkers and a possible suspension. But obviously you can write that you want to shoot people and no one red flags you. No one turns that over. That's not important. It's important we protect the president's honor. It's not important we protect our children. So theoretically, I guess you could go on Twitter or Facebook and write, I'm going to get myself a gun one day and I'm going to shoot some people. And they'd say, just bloviating, nothing to worry about. But if you say Hunter Biden's or laptop was real or his daughter's diary was real, we're right on that. We have the algorithm set. So if anything is said about whatever, we're immediately notified where we can suspend you and fact check you and everything. Okay. You could be suspended for telling somebody they're an idiot. If you get into a debate with someone and you say you're a complete idiot, you have no idea what you're talking about, they will suspend you from bullying. But if you tell people you're going to shoot people, it's okay. Because it's all political. Now, I've heard people, even some rational people, say, enough is enough. We have to do something about the gun. Please don't be bluffed into this. Please don't be. Take a look at the statistics, and you will find out that the amount of homicides that take place in this country with a rifle is a fourth of how many homicides take place with a knife. Now, I'm not saying the argument's going to be if the kid didn't have a gun, he couldn't have done it. Very true. But the problem is you are now making the assumption that he wouldn't have gotten a gun anyway. And that's simply not true. Let's say he was not able to buy a gun. He's 18 and you got to be 21. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't necessarily disagree with raising the legal age to own a gun to 21. But it's not going to stop someone from getting a gun. I love this argument because the liberals always do this. They say, well, if you ban guns or put extremely strict laws that have to be implemented before you can get one, this will eliminate or greatly, greatly lower the gun violence, but they don't apply that to abortion. So if we ban abortion, they say, oh, that's not going to stop it. People will still get abortions if they want to. Well, how about if we just limit it? How about if we say it's only can be up until maybe the third month? No, people will still do it. It's not going to make one speck of difference. That's their argument. When it comes to guns, however, oh, it'll make all the difference in the world. So if truly and honestly the politicians of this country think that taking away guns will solve any gun violence in this country, take away the guns of the people who guard you. Start with you. You have armed security. Why are they armed? There's no need for them, right? If you take away everyone's rights to guns, then they have to take away their rights to the gun too. Why should they be the only person with a gun? We can't be expecting gun violence, can we? Why are your bodyguards carrying? Why do you carry? So start with you. Throw down your guns. Make yourself defenseless. You won't do it. And the reason you won't do it is much like one of our proud Democratic elected officials said, is I'm important. I need bodyguards. I'm important. Children in Texas, they weren't important. Just you. Then I heard, well, you have to understand. I actually heard a police officer, a very high-ranking police official, say probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anyone say. And it boggles my mind. He said, well, there's only so many police officers, and there's so many schools, that even if we were to put a police officer in front of every school, there'd be no police officers to do anything else. No one's suggesting you take people off the beat. I don't recall anyone ever suggesting that. I don't recall one person saying, well, the police have to be out in front of every single school. That's not what anybody said. There's plenty of retired police officers. There's plenty of retired military. If you don't like that idea, then you have to have a person or two in that school that's a teacher or whatever they happen to be that is trained in using a gun and has some background in security. I'm going to stop evil, folks. You're just not. Right now, as you said here, regardless of where you live, whether you live in a house in the country or you live in an apartment in the city, whether you have a weapon in your closet or whether you don't, whether you have security cameras or you have alarms or you have whatever, if a madman really wants to break in and kill you, the only way you're really going to be able to stop him is if you can kill him first. You can call the police. They're not coming in time. The security camera can pick him up, and perhaps he will be arrested for your murder, but that's what it will be. It's your murder. The alarm can sound. And the people can call from the security system saying, are you okay? We're dispatching the police. It's going to be too late. If their goal is to kill you, they're going to, unless you kill them first. Now, I heard morons say, oh, where's this rhetoric about a good guy with a gun can save us from a bad guy with a gun? Well, a good guy with a gun did save us. A border security agent infiltrated that building, damn near lost his life, got shot in the leg, and if you saw his hat, there's a hole in the top of his hat where the bullet grazed the top of his hat so close to being in his forehead. And he eliminated the shooter. Had he not done that, I don't know how many more children could be killed or teachers. Maybe many, many, many more. Maybe somewhere out there right now, there's a parent hugging their child tight right now that wouldn't have been on the face of this earth had it not been for that man. These are the same people that the Democrats wanted to abolish. There's no need for these border agents. They're evil Nazis. Remember? That evil Nazi saved your children. As many as he could. But still the Democrats couldn't have that. So then they began circulating this big rumor. The shooter was engaged before he went in. And the police knew he was in there with a gun. And all they did was secure the perimeter of the building, and none of those cowardly, horrible police officers would go in. All they did was hold parents back who had come for their children and secure the perimeter of the building. Those evil bastard police officers just stood there and listened to the gunshots as children were dying. That's the rhetoric. It's not true. There's even a guy, I'm not even going to mention his name, but there's a guy who purports to be a little bit to the right side of independent, who has many, many, many followers and has secretly been against the police for a very long time. He put it on his show today. He has millions of listeners. He said, this has to stop. These police did nothing. He's a liar. While the police were securing the perimeter of that building, there were three agents that went in. It is true that the man was engaged before he went into the building. He then entered the building and locked the door. At that point, you couldn't get in the door without a key. You could go through the window, but that would basically be suicide because quite obviously, if you're breaking through the window, he's going to shoot you. And we didn't know. How would anybody know how many children were in the hallway? It became almost a hostage situation. There was absolutely no way that any of these police officers could ever know in a million years that a man who had just shot his grandmother and was on the run from the police would do anything more than hold hostages. So right away, the effort is he's in the school. Don't antagonize him. He's in the school. He has a weapon. Maybe we can talk him out of the school. Right now, he's scared. He's running on adrenaline. He's just shot his grandmother. He's been on the run. They don't know any of this other than that. So right away, you go into this is a hostage situation. And you try to calm the suspect. You don't try to antagonize them. What would you have them all do? All the police are going to rush in and just start firing. And if there's women and children in, caught in the crossfire, oh, well, let parents run in too. My kid's in there. Let me just run in and they'll get everybody killed. You're placing the blame on the wrong person. And you're placing the blame on the wrong thing. It's not the gun. Not the police. It's that evil bastard who no one could have anticipated would have opened fire on little children. And everyone was trying to prevent that from happening. While the police were guarding the perimeter, three officers did break through. They broke windows and were getting children out. And the one border agent engaged the shooter. One. You know why that's done? So there's not crossfire. So people aren't killed in the crossfire. So there's not widespread panic and everyone running in all directions. But no, the police have to be the bad guys because that's the world we live in. It's not the shooter's fault. He was mentally ill. We should have sympathy for him. It's the evil bastard police officers who did nothing and should have annihilated him on sight. Now, I will agree that the door to that school should have been locked. I have no idea why the door to that school was not locked. That's absurd. But I want you to remember one thing when you're listening to these Democrats. The same Democrats who are telling you it is unfeasible to have security in schools were the people who had the National Guard for months, 6 months outside the Capitol building, barbed wire fences up. Because they were inside. Not your children. They were inside. They're too important. They can't take the chance that an unarmed Trump supporter might yell that they thought the election was rigged. You'll have to shoot that person dead like you did Ashley Babbitt. Because according to them, she deserved it. She was an insurrectionist. Okay, she was unarmed. Okay, she served the military. But she was a rabble-rouser. She was yelling. We can't have that. So we just blew her away. And that cop's a hero. That security guy, he's a hero. The guy who ran in, the DEA agent, I mean, the border agent that ran in, no, he's still a terrible, horrible person. He didn't do his job. He should have been in there sooner. He should have anticipated that when the guy ran into the school, it wasn't for cover and to get hostages so he could potentially escape from killing his grandmother. He should have known with his psychic ability that the guy was a school shooter. Just unbelievable, folks. It's unbelievable. And Chuck Schumer is so worried about this that he actually created a situation where there can't be any votes on gun repeal until after the midterms, when he knows they're not going to be in charge anymore. How come he can't do it now? You have the House and you have the Senate, and you made sure that those votes weren't going to come up, and you know why? Because you know that's an unpopular thing with the American people, and you start to press it now and you might get it passed. They're not going to vote for you. So once again, it's political. Over the dead bodies of children, your power is all that counts to you. You're very evil people. You have no conscience. It's all about power. There is nothing that will bring you to your knees to say, Jesus, please, just forget politics for a day. Can we all sit down at the table and work something out that will help so that the next elementary school shooting doesn't happen? Can we please just do that? This is the time. This is the time for the Democratic leaders to say, we understand we're not going to get everything we want. We understand that it's not popular with the country to ban arms. We get it. We also got to understand the Republicans aren't going to get everything they want. But can we sit down and just take the extremes off the table and see if we can't come up with something? Can we come up with something? Whether it be, I heard a theory pressed that wasn't too bad, saying if you have ex-police officers or military or security guards that want to voluntarily secure the school, that those people will no longer have to pay any federal income tax. They will be tax exempt. No property tax, no income tax, nothing. They're tax exempt. It'll cost you nothing, not a dime. That's one idea. Another idea is to hire them. Another idea is to require that at least one person who's in the school during the duration of the school day, at least one person is trained in firearms and security. You can be a teacher. You can be a gym coach. You can be a janitor. I don't care. There's other people who are more technologically based who are saying, maybe we should do a thing by which no matter which way you go into a school, you have to go through a detector, and if it beeps, the doors automatically lock and you can't get in. Okay, but that doesn't mean they can't get through a window. I mean, anything that will help, I'm for. But if you think for 1 minute, folks, in your wildest imagination, that a man who would point a gun at a 9-year-old girl cowering in a corner and pull the trigger wouldn't have gotten a gun anyway and done the exact same thing or killed them in another way? You don't understand the problem here. The problem isn't the gun. I can buy a gallon of gasoline and put it in my car to go, 10 miles up the road, or I can burn someone's house down with it. It's not the gasoline's fault. It's what I've chosen to use it for. I can buy a butcher knife so I can cut through my roast beef, or I can plunge it into the heart of somebody riding on a subway. It's still the same knife. It's how I use it. I can buy a pressure cooker because it's easier for me to cook, or I can make a bomb out of it and blow people up at a marathon in Philly, right? But it's not the pressure cooker's fault. We don't ban pressure cookers. We don't ban gasoline. We don't ban knives and butcher knives. There's an ulterior motive to wanting to take your guns away, and it's not the safety of your children. Because if it was, this would have been huge, huge, huge situation with all the deaths that were taking place and still taking place in Chicago on a daily basis. Where's the president talking about the poor little girl who got caught in the crossfire trying to cross the street to get an ice cream cone? You think all those guns that those gangbangers are using are illegal? Oh, yeah, they all passed the background checks. Chicago has one of the strictest gun laws in the nation. And every gangbanger has a gun. So please explain to me again how making the law stricter is going to prevent that. It's not. It's not going to prevent it, folks. There are places in New York where you can buy a gun on a street corner. Tomorrow, all guns are banned. All it's going to do is open up the black market for mobs to say, oh, great, we're in the arms business now. Drugs are illegal. How many people get drugs on a regular basis? No, they don't walk into Walmart and say, let me get some fentanyl or heroin. Where do they go for it? They still get it, don't they? So all you're going to do if you ban the guns is you're going to have the law-abiding citizens say, I guess I can't have one. So that's open season for the non-law-abiding citizens to say, great, I can break into this house. There's no chance this person has a gun because they're not allowed, and they're law-abiding citizens. I bought mine from a dude on the street corner, and I don't give an F. It doesn't work, folks. As tragic and horrible as this incident is, it does not work. Now, yes, this guy bought his guns legally. Yes, in Texas, at 18 years old, you can buy these type of guns. It was an AR. I don't know what it was exactly. I think he had a handgun, too. The real question that no one's asking that I know of is what did this kid do for a living that he had enough money to buy this? Those are not cheap. When I was 18 years old, I was scrounging around for, money to go on a date. I wasn't buying $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 worth of ammo and rifles and body armor. That's a lot of money. Somebody should be looking into where that money came from, because I find it very hard to believe that this guy held down a full-time job when I've been told he quit high school during the pandemic and refused to go back. Someone said he wore a complete hazmat suit once or twice to school and then just never came back. And what no one is talking about is how this isolation, this horrible separation where kids couldn't go to school and had no friends and had no social life, helped to placate mental illness and the sense of depression. But irregardless, whatever this guy's situation is, I don't care if he had diagnosed as completely psychotic. there is a chip in you. In my opinion, that would not allow a person to point a gun at a 9-year-old girl and pull the trigger, let alone over and over and over and over again. That's evil. And it comes from somewhere. And there's no defense for it. Taking away the guns of the innocent does not help. As a matter of fact, it just exacerbates it. Because then the evil understands very clearly you have no defense. We're in a bad situation in this country, folks, the worst I've ever seen. Because everything in our lives, from the food we eat, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, the jobs we have, the cars we drive, has been politicized. You're either on this side of the fence or the other side of the fence. And the other person just isn't a different ideology. The other person is your enemy. The other person's evil, horrible, terrible. That's what you're told constantly. If you don't believe exactly what I believe, you're horrible, you're evil, you're terrible. Well, now we've come to the point where I can honestly say, if you are trying to politicize the deaths of these children, you are a very evil person, yes. And I don't want anything to do with you. And I don't think you should be anywhere near any elected office. Ever. And in a sane world, someone like Beto O'Rourke would be blacklisted, and you would say, never again. He's on our party, but he's an unwelcome part of our party. We don't want him anywhere near our party. What he did was unforgivable and disgusting. And we would have a president that would say, I'm not reading this on the teleprompter. All this is going to do is inflame the issue and make it political. And it's not about politics. It's about dead children. There will be a time when we can bring this up. Now is not the time, and I will not read this off the teleprompter. All I'm going to do is address the American people with our sorrow and grief. But we don't. We don't live in that world anymore, folks. Everything is political now. Everything. If you think I'm wrong, just think about it. There are people who say, I'm canceling Netflix because they have too much woke stuff. Then when Netflix says, fine, we're not going to have any more woke stuff, then the woke say, well, I'm canceling Netflix because it's too, they're not woke enough. Can't even watch a movie. Can't go to a sports game because half the people are kneeling and the people say, I'm not watching any sport where people kneel during the national anthem. And the other people are saying, well, if they can't have their freedom to kneel during the national anthem, I'm boycotting. Musicians who just shut up and play. Shut up and play. Have to use the stage as their bully pulpit to say, I know there's 10,000 people here tonight and half of you voted one way and half the other, but I think, as if anybody cares what you think. You play an instrument and sing into a microphone. Calm down. There are no activists. Sports figures are activists. Can't go into this restaurant because they have a big sign up that says, we support the police, and you can't support the police. They're obviously Nazis. Burn their restaurant to the ground. Well, this restaurant has a BLM sign. I'm not going in there. They're obviously psychopathic communists. I don't see anything good for this country. Because I truly and honestly thought that this horrific, terrible, evil, inexcusable massacre of children would somehow wake people up. But it hasn't. And if that this doesn't, nothing will. Nothing will. Because there's nothing worse than this. You've reached the end as far as bad as it can get. Massacring children. Was not enough to do it, then nothing will be enough to do it. Nothing. So this is the way life is going to be now. Everything is political. Everything is about a quest for power. Everything is about my side wins, your side loses. And we're going to reap what we sow, and we're reaping it right now. We're reaping it right now. I heard one of the people who was a teacher in that classroom, her husband was a police officer, I guess. Yeah, he didn't want to get in the building. He didn't want to get in the building. Of course he didn't. He stayed outside like a coward. There were other people, other police officers who had children in that school. And they were trained, and they were still told, you got to be the one staying outside because people are going in. How do you think they felt? But they're the enemy. They're the evil people. Teacher called her husband and said, get over here. My God, we're having a horrible situation. He didn't make it in time. One man said, my I guess it was his granddaughter said she didn't want to go to school that day. And we told her she had to. I can't even be angry at this point. I'm just sad because this is it, folks. It doesn't get worse than this. And social media is filled with, this is why we need to ban guns. I just don't, I don't know anymore. I don't know where we're going from here. I wish I could come on here with a tiny bit of optimism, but I have none. I have none to give you. Because when even this can't do it, nothing will. The world has now become one big political football to be kicked around by both sides. There's such a mad quest for power. I'm not going to lie to you. I do blame the left wing. Because the world is always going to have evil. It doesn't matter who's in office. The world is always going to have evil. Horrific, horrible things happen on a daily basis. But I want you to ask yourself, during the Trump administration, how many of these suicide bombers and these lone wolf al-Qaeda and attackers and things did we have? Hardly any. Obama, it was daily. Every morning I'd wake up under the Obama administration, there would either be in this country or in our own country or in whatever, there's a video of man being burned alive in a cage. There's this, there's that, there's the other thing. Every single day there was one. Isn't it magic how that stopped under Trump? Oh, there might have been one or two, but nothing, nothing comparable to what there was in the Obama years. It became such a normal occurrence, it was almost like people became desensitized. And they said, okay, well, another one. That figures. And now here we go again. When there are no actions resulting from your misdeeds, there's no incentive not to do it. They're letting people out of prison. Sex offenders, violent offenders, they're just letting them out. And then you wonder why there's more crime, and you want to blame the gun and the gun manufacturers. So if at any point in my lifetime I develop any sort of illness as a result of eating too much junk food, I guess it's McDonald's fault and McDonald's should be banned, or is it my fault? I just don't get it. And the truth is, the Democrats don't believe, not one of them, truly believe that taking away your guns would solve this problem. They don't believe that. What they do believe is that this is such a horrific thing that they might win you over. You might say, well, my God, innocent children are being killed. Maybe we should. At least that's what they're hoping. And that's true evil. That's true evil. You see, because if you were an evil person, you'd say the truth. You'd say, look, we don't believe that people should have guns. We believe those should be reserved strictly for the police and bodyguards and military. We realize that criminals are going to all get guns. We realize that. But we're going to have to up the police presence. We're going to have to up the sentences for people who have illegal guns. We're going to have to wage war on the gun traffickers and the arms traffickers and make sure that doesn't happen. They're not doing that. They're saying we're giving them less of a sentence. We're defunding the police. We want less police. So you want less police, no guns to protect yourself. What do you think is going to happen? That's like somebody saying, I'm going to leave my doors unlocked, porch light on, and a sign on the door saying, be home next Tuesday. And I don't expect my house to be burglarized. Why would my house be burglarized? Gee, I don't know. Folks, a criminal will always get a gun. That's why they're a criminal. They have no respect for the law. If the kid had any respect for the law, he wouldn't have shot his grandmother. And the day you can prove to me that if he didn't have a gun, he wouldn't have stabbed his grandmother to death, went in and set fire to the entire school building and everyone in it, then we can have a different discussion. But if you're crazy and you're looking to kill, you'll find a way to do it. And the only thing that stops that, as I said in the beginning of this show, the police aren't going to get there in time. Your security alarm is not going to deter them. So there's a loud noise, big deal. The thing that's going to stop someone from killing you that really wants to kill you is you or someone with a weapon. And that's what happened again this time. Remember when there was even talk, well, the police shouldn't even have weapons. Well, what were you going to fight back with then? What were you going to do in this situation? Oh, I remember. You were going to send in a social worker. So that social worker would open that door to that school and say, now I know you killed your grandmother and all these children, but you need to really understand that you're going through a psychosis right now. And then he would have shot her dead, or him dead. That's what would have happened. And then what? Send in another social worker? Just keep coming like ducks on a pond, or what? But when the left found out that it was a border agent, the back of their neck hair stood up and they said, this isn't good. We can't have them portrayed as heroes. They're evil, terrible Nazis. They're horrible, racist bastards. They can't save children, nor can any of the police. So our official narrative is cowardly police stand by, holding back parents who would have bravely rescued their children as their children were being shot dead. That's the narrative that they're trying to give you. None of that ever happened. The police did everything 100% by the book. Secured the perimeter, secured people so they didn't run into the building, sent in the best people they could. Some people were smashing windows, getting children out. One guy went in. And his job was pretty clear, and he did his job. See, if the only person you have to worry about firing is the person you need to shoot, your life becomes a lot easier than if there's 19 police officers shooting at everything that moves. You can't have that. They did this the right way. The thing they did was correct. It's too late. When you hear the gunshot, it wasn't like he shot one, waited 20 minutes, shot another one, waited 20 minutes. He just opened fire. So by the time they hear the gunshots and they realize this is no longer a hostage situation, this guy is shooting people. They're already dead, folks. There is no Superman to fly in the building. You have to do things logically. The villain is not the police. It's this evil bastard who, no matter what his mental illness was or no matter what his situations were at home, I don't want to hear it. Cry me a river. You didn't know any one of those children, nor any one of those teachers. And you knew your life was about to come to an end. So the world we live in now is I'm going to be infamous. I'm going to be famous for the rest of my, or the rest of everyone else's life, because my life is over. Everyone will remember my name. No, we will not. That's why I will not say your name. Your name is forgotten in my mind. You're a piece of human trash. And I don't want to give you one second. Not one second of infamy. But that's what he wanted, because there's no other reason to turn your gun on these children. You could have walked out of that classroom. You could have shot yourself. You chose not to do that. And I want you to remember something else, too. After the first couple of children, he could have said, what the hell am I doing? He saw the carnage he was leaving. He kept doing it. Because he's an evil person. I'm sorry to tell you, folks. I know it sounds scary. There's not a whole lot you can do about evil people. They're going to exist. Just like serial killers exist, they're going to exist. But if you truly and honestly are one of these people who say, well, I'm so glad we have fact checkers and people not allowing bullying online, that's a wonderful thing. I want you to ask yourself today, how come you can't set up your algorithms to target people who say things that could be considered words or threats of violence? How come it always has to be about political? I always used to joke and say, I could say there's a Bigfoot on my lawn and they won't fact check me and say no one has ever really seen a Bigfoot. It's a myth. But if I say Hunter Biden's laptop is real, then I will be fact checked, right? Because it's political. If tomorrow somebody said, you know, pizza with pineapple is the most wonderful thing, and I say, you're a complete idiot, pineapple does not belong on pizza, they're not going to flag me for bullying. If I say somebody's a complete idiot because they voted for Joe Biden, I will be flagged for bullying, because it's all political. Everything in your life has become political. And until you break that spell that has largely, because the Democratic Party lost the 2016 election and couldn't deal with it, I want you to remember that. Now, I know I had promised to talk a little bit about this Michael Sussman situation. Let me just quickly say this in the remaining time I have left. He has not taken the stand. He will not take the stand. The defense is rested. It is very clear to anyone who watched 1 minute of this trial that Michael Sussman, the FBI, the Hillary Clinton campaign, including Hillary Clinton herself, totally set up a president of the United States hoping to rig an election on misinformation. Then when they could not do that, decided they would take him out by impeaching him. That is, in fact, an insurrection. You are attempting to remove illegally a president, knowing that everything you have, and I want you to understand the FBI knew this was fake, knowing that everything you have is fake, still going through with it, promising the American people, we have the goods, we know for sure, we have it, we can't let you see it, but we have it, when you knew you had nothing. And the attempt was to remove Donald J. Trump from office. That's an insurrection. Not January 6th with a bunch of people taking selfies in the Capitol. That's an insurrection, folks. Nothing will happen. Hillary Clinton won't see a day in jail. Michael Sussman might. But we don't even know about that because now we're being told the jury consists of Hillary Clinton donors. How wonderful is that? Oh, judged by a jury of your peers. Wonderful. This is what it's come to, folks, in this country. This is the worst news I've ever had to get on here and tell you, that even the murder, the slaughter of innocent children is not enough to break the hold of quest for power in this insane party that has become so out of control that I honestly now can tell you I consider a good majority of them evil people. And I'm sure they consider the people who are fighting against them evil. I don't know what to tell you. It's like a civil war. And I see nothing that's going to stop this. We pray for the families of those people who lost their loved ones and pray for the country, folks. We're going to need it. We're definitely going to need it.